Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career.
Hello and welcome. I am Kate Poon, and in studio today we have Marty Miranda. Marty Miranda is a child of deaf adult. Mrs. Marty Miranda follows her passion for diversity and specifically persons with disabilities. She started her career as a sign language interpreter in 1997 and followed through with providing access to deaf people while being employed by the Free State Association for Persons with Disabilities, the Free State Provincial Government Department for Sports, Arts, Culture and Recreation since 2009 at the University of the Free State. In 2015, she became the head of the Center for Universal Access and Disability Support at the University of the Free State. After being part of a pioneering group of sign language interpreters to be trained in South Africa, she became a trainer, mentor, and one of the 10 accredited sign language interpreters in South Africa in 2014, and is a member of the South African Translators Institute. During 2015, Mrs. Miranda obtained her Bachelor in Management Leadership cum laude with a field of study done on holistic student support approach for students with disabilities at the University of the Free State. In 2018, she was elected and served as the chairperson for the Higher and Further Education Disability Services Association, HEDSA, until 2023, with two important projects to implement. Currently, she drives the Universal Access and Universal Design approach at the UFS as the approach to include all students, including students with disabilities, which invites the commitment and attitudinal shift to achieve inclusivity that is necessary to move beyond it being the responsibility of one department. Marty, welcome to the Career Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we're going to start with two icebreaker questions. First, I hope you're a music person because I want to find out if you are. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Karaoke?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. None.
Really?
No, no, I don't like karaoke.
I don't think I sing well. Do you listen to music?
I love music,
okay,
yes.
So, but what's that one song that you would sing at the top of your head from words from start to finish without even looking at the lyrics?
There's a song of Francois van Cooke called Koma.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then the second question, if you could have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
A pie.
Really?
Yes.
Which flavor?
Well, for a long time it was spinach and feta, but now I'll go for pepper steak.
Okay. I knew a steak had to be in there somewhere. Marty, so before we unpack your job and what it is that you do as the head of the Center for Universal Access and Disability Support, tell me about the best day in your career. When was it and what happened?
As you mentioned, I graduated in 2015 with my degree in management leadership. And something that really took everything home for me was the fact that my parents could attend my graduation ceremony for the first time with a sign language interpreter.
Mm.
Because through my whole school career-wise, you know, with every prize-giving ceremony, and so forth. You know, at that time, there weren't any sign language interpreters.
Mm.
So when I graduated, at least they had that. And that was really significant for me.
Oh, that's special. Mm. Now, the two terms, as I was reading your bio in preparation yesterday and this morning again, I was looking at those two terms, universal access and universal design. I think it's very, they can easily be misinterpreted. Nah? And I know I also sometimes think this is what access means and this is what design means. But then you bring universal into, you know, that the mix. So I don't know if you can just enlighten our listeners a bit in what the two mean and, you know, is there a way to separate them or do they go together? And, you know, what does that look like?
I think they go together rather than separately.
Mm-hmm.
But universal access, and I'm going to try to explain it by use of an example.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of a building that has to be accessed by different kinds of people.
Yes.
If you have a flight of stairs, you exclude some people. If you put in a ramp, everybody can use a ramp.
Of
And that is universal, if you hear what I'm saying.
I get it.
And you can take that into study material.
Mm.
You can take that to the use of computers. You can, you know, so with everything, you should think about all the different kinds of people that have to access that particular thing.
Yes.
And that you have to provide the universal access to it.
Yeah. Makes sense. Mm. So,
and then universal design is specifically focused on learning. So we're saying recognize the fact that we have different personalities. We've got different characteristics. People read or take in information in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I like to listen to information. You might prefer to read information.
Mm-hmm.
Others would like to see visuals, you know, to accompany the learning. But if you cater for all of them, in other words, being universal about it, you also include students with disabilities. Because while you prefer to listen to audio, a blind person access information by listening to audio.
Exactly.
So then if you plan your things in a universally designed way, you accommodate everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the important and the key aspect. Everyone needs to be considered.
Correct.
Perfect. Yeah. Now let's start by reflecting on your background and thinking about your interests and your passions and being raised as a child of deaf adults. Did you always know that you would one day want to work in a center of universal access and disability support? What did that look like and dreaming?
I must honestly say, while preparing for this interview, I was thinking about it and I realized, you know, I might be one of a few people that went through school not knowing what I actually want to become.
Mm.
And strangely enough, I started nursing after school just because I wanted to make some money to go to the kibbutz in Israel. And then to figure out myself, you know, what is it that I want to do?
Mm.
And then I never went because I don't know if you know, but nurses don't get a lot of money. So I didn't go to the kibbutz. And then eventually realized that nursing isn't for me and left that and started working for a friend in a company. And while working there, I received a call from the Association for Persons with Disabilities asking me whether I don't want to come and interpret for them.
Mm.
And then I went, what is that? Yes. What is interpreting? You know, at that point, this is now 1996.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I had no idea that what I was doing while I was a child growing up for my parents was actually a job.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
And so I've been doing it all my life. And then when that opportunity came, I went for it because I know how to do this.
Exactly.
You know, so then I went with no training, formal training, although I knew
experience.
What I was doing. Yeah.
Mm.
So then I started interpreting, and I think in that process realized who I was and what the influence of my parents on my life was, and it sort of created that passion in me to provide access
for
to
everyone.
Persons with disabilities. Yeah.
Okay. Very, very interesting journey. Now, tell me a bit about your academic student journey. You mentioned it just now, and we read it in your bio, that in the same year when you started your position as the head of Quads, then you obtained your BML qualification. But you had already started a career, as you said, in as a sign language interpreter. Now, I want to hear, you know, how that was like studying and working and trying to navigate all of that. Like, was it very easy to maintain or very easy to sustain? Were there some bumps or challenges on the way? How did you really just navigate that journey?
It was extremely difficult, I will not lie. I mean, to have a full-time job and study as well was really, really challenging.
Mm.
And I think the best way one can go about it is by applying time management. I slept very little and my weekends didn't exist for socializing. It was purely there for studying. So it was really that. And I think what made the course worthwhile for me as well is because it's management leadership,
yes.
I could apply it at the department. So it was using what I was busy studying and actually make it work and form the center eventually, and how the machine works currently is because of that influence, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, cum laude.
Yeah.
You just had to. But congratulations on doing that. And I think the center and the work that you've done also speaks for, you know, the insight and the knowledge that you also gained in your qualification.
Thank you.
Now let's travel through time and dream a bit. Let's say you didn't pursue a career in as a sign language interpreter. You never got that call that you got, and you never really found your way to establishing the center and being a very integral part of the Quads building and support and disability unit. So, and you weren't able to do anything related to what you're doing today. Would you have done anything else? And what is it exactly?
You know, I mentioned to you that I didn't really know what I wanted to do, right? So, but after a while, I realized that something like diversity wakes up something in me. Mm. I love learning about people. Yeah. I love meeting new people. I love learning about different cultures. So I would think something in anthropology, but then I also just like art, you know, so I would have liked to just paint if I could.
Yes, you know? And if you could make money from it.
Yes.
Now, Marty, back to real life. What would you say really makes you good at your job?
I think my passion for it. I don't think, and I want to say this, and hopefully somebody could take that home with them, is if you don't necessarily, everybody thinks you have to sort of look for your passion and go for that,
yes,
right? But how do you identify your passion? And I think I'm living proof of my the passion finding me.
Yes,
you
exactly.
know, and sometimes it's okay to wait until you're 40 years old to do a degree in management leadership, because at that point you at least know who you are, what it is that you're pursuing, and what your passion is. So, yes, so sometimes it's your passion is not, you don't know your passion, but it comes finding you eventually, you know, while you grow as a human.
Absolutely. You know? I think what you're touching on and what you're mentioning is very, very important, because the question I want to ask you now is, if someone were listening and would they would also like to pursue a similar career path, and even if it's not a similar career path, but the world of work is evolving and there's so many opportunities that exist, you know, and so if someone may be sitting and wondering how, or in the waiting or in the, you know, learning and growing while waiting for my passion to discover me or to find me, what would I, or what do I need to do then to best sort of prepare myself for that encounter?
I guess explore.
Yeah.
Do as much as possible. I'm thinking about the time when I became a sign language interpreter. There were no resources, right?
Of course.
This was a new profession. We were like a handful of sign language interpreters at the time, and there was no courses. There was at the University of the Free State, by the way, started sign language for the first time in the country as a course.
Sure.
Secondly, presented a interpreter's course for the first time, postgraduate diploma at the time. And I mean, I became one of two qualified sign language interpreters in the country at that time. So, you know, so sometimes it's in the smaller things that you don't think is important that could bring you into another type of career where your passion finds you.
Absolutely.
So, sometimes it's just good to explore. Try as many things as possible. And even if the sign language interpreting did not hook onto me at that time, it might have come in a different way.
Exactly.
You know, maybe as a social worker for deaf community, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, there's absolutely a lot to do.
Yeah. But explore.
Definitely. Explore. Definitely. I agree with that. Now, no job is just good. And I always also say that some jobs have their not so good days. And even when the passion is there and the love is there, it does get to us sometimes. So I want to hear from you, Marty, as the head of the center that also plays such a huge role in ensuring accessibility in the institution for students. what would you say is the hard or mundane part of your work?
The admin.
How did I know you're going to say that?
The admin, the report writing, it's all necessary.
Of course, I mean,
we get that. It is necessary to do that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you are a people's person, you much rather work with the people than sit in front of a computer the whole day and writing reports. So yes, it has to be done. Mm. And it also creates institutional history. Because now I can go back into the time when Quads has started in 2001 and see how it has grown over the years. And then you see the transformation that has happened over the time. So it's necessary.
Exactly.
We have to do admin. We have to do reports. But I also want to say that there's difficult parts in a job as well. You know, not just things that we don't like to do, but difficult things are to manage people.
Yes.
If you have staff members with different personalities, with different skills and different likes, you try to identify where you can use who and sort of try to ignite their passion within their jobs.
Mm.
And that's the difficult part. But it's a nice part.
It is at least. Nice. Yeah. Now, before we wrap up this part of the conversation, share with us one secret about being in your position, whether it's as a manager, whether it's as, you know, ensuring the support to our deaf community or disability community rather, something someone on the outside would never guess.
Amongst persons with disabilities, you'll find humor amongst all the challenges and frustrations that they experience. But they are the only ones that are allowed to joke about it. We can't laugh about it. We can laugh with them, but not at it or at them, but with them. And I think that is the beauty of being in our space. If you see different students with different disabilities together and how they get along in accommodating each other.
Mm.
You know, we talk about the blind leading the blind, but sometimes you see deaf people leading blind people. They can't communicate with each other, but they will lead each other.
Absolutely. You know? That is beautiful. That's a beautiful secret. Now, we've reached what I always say is my second favorite part of the interview or the conversation. I'm going to ask you 5 rapid-fire questions, and you don't need to think too hard with these ones. It's just a this or that. First thing that comes to your mind, you say. Are you ready?
I'll try my best.
Okay. First one, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Oh, I knew it.
Yeah.
Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Your favorite word is?
Happiness.
Finish this for me. Every morning I
am grateful.
Beautiful. And the last one. A wise woman once said.
I have a friend that always says, Nelson Mandela once says, it reminds me of that. But a wise woman said, look for your passion and pursue that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Marty. We've reached the end of our conversation. Okay. Thank you for your time and just for your willingness to share your journey, your experiences and everything that you've learned leading such a big center that really, really accommodates and tries to ensure that, like it said in your bio, it's not about one center or one office being responsible for universal access and design, but it's an institutional effort. And I think that you are really doing that well.
Thank you very much. And thank you so much for the opportunity.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.